Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I am your host, JD. And with me, as always, the one and only Mouse in the house.
What's going on? How have you been?
Not too bad, man. How about yourself?
It's been a while since we've done this.
It has, man. We took the holidays off. Be with our families, get the shopping done, kick off the new year. How was your holidays?
Yeah, man, it was good. No complaints. It's Christmas, right? So it's always a good time. Spend time with the family. Did some traveling. Watch some sports. You know, same old, same old. How was yours?
It was good. I had, you know, my in-laws come in, so I had quite a packed house for most of the 2 weeks actually. And then for New Year's, we kind of kept it small since we're kind of, you know, we had so many house guests. We kind of wanted to keep it small for that. And like you, watch sports, watch a few other things we'll get into later on.
Yeah, buddy.
But I wanted to ask you, who won the debate in your house? Did all of your daughter's gifts say from Santa?
Oh.
Or were some from you guys?
So, that's a debate we have every year, right? We talked about that. Yeah, but it's not a battle I fight.
Okay.
So, my wife always wins that. That was like determined before we even had a little one. So it's not something I fight around. I'm just always looking for people to be allies to me and to think the same way I think, so I can rub it in her face a little bit.
So, what side were you on? I don't remember. You were pro all Santa or?
Yeah. So when I grew up, everything under the tree was from Santa.
Okay.
And, you know, gifts to other people obviously were from us, but if it was for me or my sister, my little brother, it was from Santa Claus.
Okay, so you did get credit for some of the gifts, and you'll always get credit for some of the gifts.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Not a bad defeat.
But the good thing about this Christmas, though, my little girl's almost three, and so she's talking a ton, and you know, we've been telling her Santa Claus was bringing her gifts, and so my wife tried to be like, oh, this gift is from mom and dad. And she was like, no, Santa. So she was telling my wife all of them were from Santa Claus. So I kind of won the battle without really having to fight.
So I want you to be honest with our listeners and with yourself. Did you coach her into doing that?
No, but I did sell her pretty hard on Santa Claus is going to bring you lots of gifts. And this is from Santa. And this is from Santa. So she was in my corner for sure.
Okay. So you kind of subliminally did it.
Yeah, I didn't know I was doing it until the end, and then Christmas morning I just woke up a champion.
You're so stupid. Well, I'm glad you woke up a champion, because the Spurs are currently on a 4-game skid. As we record this, they just lost to the Raptors. Like I said, they're on a 4-game losing streak. Three of those are on the road, so it's not. Doesn't feel horrible, and all of them are without DeJounte Murray.
Yep.
Now he's back, and from what I've been told, he will play against the Celtics on Wednesday night. Knowing what we know now, are you surprised about this? Is it disappointing? Is it just, hey, it's a long season?
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised. I think they're going to be streaky, and we're coming off, or we're in a 4-game losing streak, right? But if you go back to the end of December, they didn't do too bad, right?
Yeah, prior to the 4-game losing streak, they had a 3-game winning streak.
Yeah.
And they had won 6 out of their last 8 before that.
Yeah, so I think that's the team. This is who they are. They're young, and they're kind of right where I thought they were going to be.
And I guess it'd be cocky, right, if we said, hey, we're going to lose your best player, who's an all-star caliber player.
Yeah.
But you should still win.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
we're not that kind of franchise yet.
No way.
Some of the pluses, Primo has gotten a ton of minutes.
Yeah, you know, finishing tonight, them playing the Raptors, it was nice to see Primo, Wisenkamp, and Jacques all on the court together, like the last 5 or 6 minutes. So yeah, it's kind of exciting to see those really young guys out there.
Jock is basically the backup center now, which I think all of San Antonio is excited about.
Yeah.
Primo got 28 minutes tonight. 4 for 10, so nothing exciting. He hit all his 5 of 6 free throws, 2 of 6 3 points, 3-pointers, 15 points. Not super efficient, but not bad night either. Weisskamp, 12 minutes. Most of that was more on garbage. Like Primo, yeah. Primo was playing when
he counted
a chance. Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
And I think that's been one of the biggest pluses for Murray missing is Primo has gotten a ton of run. It'll be interesting to see what his minutes look like now that Murray's coming back for the Celtics. Trey Jones got a lot of minutes.
Yeah, you know, we were on here a couple weeks ago talking about giving Primo. We're like, where does Primo get his minutes from? And we talked about Bryn Forbes, and then Bryn Forbes come out and has a hell of a game a couple nights ago. I think did you put up 30?
Yeah, I honestly, Forbes has been kind of a very consistent scorer. Here's the thing about Forbes. When he was last on this team, he was starting, and that drove all of us crazy.
Yeah.
Now that he's coming off the bench as, you know, a quick scoring guard, someone that can really shoot the ball and spread the court, I don't think anyone's upset with him getting minutes anymore. You know what I mean? I think we're finally using him on his role. He got 35 minutes against the Pistons, and it did result in 27 points.
27, yeah. Lit it up.
And he's been pretty solid, you know, this last, again, since he's been back with the Spurs. But that goes more to the Spurs are using him more. Like he's averaging 8.6 points a game.
I know it's been a while since we recorded. Did you catch any of that Laker game a couple, or maybe like a week or two ago?
Yes.
That's when KBD put up 30 that game too.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
And I guess with this young team, there's going to be, we said the Spurs are streaky as a team. I think a lot of the players are as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Jakob's pretty consistent. Murray's consistent. Derek White is getting to his consistency. But, you know, Keldon Johnson's another one that's extremely streaky. You know, he's averaging 15 points a game. But there's some games when he just doesn't – he looks – I mean, not going to lie, he looks awful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He's a streaky player as well.
And another note I have down about streaky players is Lonnie. God bless that. There are a couple of games where I thought he looked like the second best player on our team, right behind DJ.
He's the ultimate streaker. Like Frank the Tank streaky. But that's who he's just going to be. That's just who he always is.
Yep.
Like tonight, Keldon Johnson went 3 of 13. You know, 0 of 5 from 3. Real bad. And again, Keldon's more consistent than Lonnie.
Sure.
But like to your point, Lonnie's just going to – and also we're missing Lonnie as well. Whether he's streaky or not, he is one of the better pure scorers on the team. So hopefully we get him back. And you can't even complain. Like, when we got the news about DeJounte Murray missing games due to COVID, it felt like it was at the worst possible time because they had just won 6 of the last 8 games. Murray was making a push for the All-Star team. But you can't even really be upset because, I mean, it's just a fact of life in sports now, right? Like, you're going to get hit with COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen it with football all year. I'm sure those of you that play fantasy football have been keeping a close eye on that.
Yeah, it was weird to watch tonight's game with Toronto Stadium or arena being empty.
And is that all season?
I don't think so. I think that's recent.
Because I know Canada's been more strict.
Pretty strict, yeah.
Throughout this entire pandemic, I didn't know if that was all season or due to the recent spike. But yeah, it's just a fact of life. You can't even be upset. Now, if you're looking for good news with the Spurs, they're only one. I think it's one game out of the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
And I think four and a half games out of 6th place. which means they'd even avoid the play-in tournament. So even with this losing streak, you know, they didn't fall too far out. And we're still, you know, we're 4 days into the new year. So if this team is to continue to make strides, they still have plenty of time to do so. Now, we talked a lot about Murray and his absence. All-star voting has started. If you're not voting for DeJounte Murray daily, please do so.
You better do it. Get out there and vote for him, man.
As a fan, but as someone that just watches sports, is he an all-star in your eyes?
Man, I think so. I mean, the guards are so deep in the West, but and maybe I'm a little biased, but I think the amount of triple doubles he's getting, how good he's been defensively on the floor. I mean, I think he deserves to be out there.
Yeah, he's extremely close to averaging a triple double. And I know what Russell Westbrook does and doesn't do has kind of watered down the triple double to a degree. But for Murray, it's not empty stats. It's not, you know, empty calories. It's everything he does is needed. And he plays at a very high level to the point where this team can't even win without him. I would say he's an all-star. I think he's made that leap. Again, he's 1.2 assists away and 1.6 rebounds away from averaging a triple-double.
Yeah.
Like, he's very close. He's inching real close.
That was pretty good. You have a calculator there by you or your...
No, man. I have his stats in front of me, but not a calculator. I'm pretty proud of myself on that
one. Give yourself a round of applause.
I grew up before there was calculators
on the phones.
Yeah.
They always say that, right? Teachers, when we're little, we're like, you're not going to have a calculator everywhere you go. Sure we are.
Sucker.
Yeah.
All right, but continue to vote for Murray. I know if you go on Twitter and you have to tweet hashtag DeJounte Murray, hashtag NBA All-Star. Or every day, our Twitter account, at Spurs and Salsa, we're either tweeting it ourselves or we're retweeting someone that's already voted. That still counts. So just retweet whatever we're doing. Or if you see somebody else doing it, do that as well. It'd be great to have Murray in the All-Star. It'd be great to have a Spurs All-Star. It feels like it's been...
Mm-hmm.
Whenever LaMarcus Aldridge last made this team, All-Star team. It's been a few years. Let's get represented there again so I can actually watch it. I get so mad that we don't have an All-Star. I won't even watch.
Yeah, we're so spoiled for so long, right? It seems weird now.
And then being under the radar has really bit us in the butt as far as All-Star games. Like, DeMar DeRozan didn't make an All-Star for the last couple of years.
He'll make one this year.
Yeah, now he's in Chicago doing the same thing, and now he's going to be an MVP candidate.
Yeah. Does that make you feel anything about our organization and how maybe we couldn't utilize him or he wasn't checked in? Or
no, because his numbers are very, very similar to what he did here.
Yeah, but he's doing a lot more.
I don't know if he's doing more.
He's hitting game winners night in, night out.
He was very clutch here too, though.
No, he wasn't. We talked about it. We would talk about how he would go missing in the playoffs. He wouldn't. He couldn't. We didn't want to hit the ball in his hands at the end of the game. I don't think so. I don't think he was clutch here. I don't know what it is.
Besides his free throws, here's the thing that these teams need to realize. Foul him in crunch time. That's where he would miss. But his clutch performance or like within 2 minutes was pretty good here too. Because I'm looking at his stats. So his minutes per game went up 2 minutes. The Bulls are playing him a little bit more. Let's see here. He jumped his scoring 5 points a game.
Which is pretty big.
But he dropped his assist to... So it's kind of a, I think it's a wash.
I mean, I think if you ask anybody, JD about DeMar DeRozan this year versus his year with the Spurs, a year and a half with the Spurs. He's playing significantly better at a whole different level than he's been playing with, or than they played with us.
It's 5 points and two less assists.
Wow.
You're feeding into, you're doing.
No, because I'm looking at his game winners. I'm looking how he's playing, how he's playing on the court. He's a different player. You just said he was an MVP candidate. He wasn't even an all-star with us.
And that's what I was getting at. It's because his jersey changed. He's not on the Riverwalk anymore. He's in Beantown, or not Beantown, the Windy City.
I don't know, man. I don't buy it.
It's 5 points and two less rebounds a game. Like, he's doing almost the exact same thing.
And the Chicago team is obviously better than our teams were here, so I think that plays into it. But I think he's also playing at a significantly higher level than he did with the Spurs. He's a different player, and I don't know why. I don't know if he's more happy up there. He's,
you know why,
feels like they can win.
You're making it up.
No way. What are you talking about? How can you argue that DeMar DeRozan's not playing at a higher level?
Because I'm looking at his stats.
Because you're a homer, you don't want to say he isn't. You don't want to say that something's wrong with our organization.
I'm looking at facts. All you're saying, okay, give me something tangible. Like,
look at his game winners. Look how clutch he is compared to the way he was with us. Like I said, we talked about it. We don't want the ball in his hands at the end of the game. We had those conversations. Yes, we did. We don't want him trying to create his own plays, his own buckets. No, it's not. It's the same thing. At the end of the game, that's what we talked about.
I said he shouldn't be the one dribbling it up court. I said he shouldn't create his own bucket, but he should take. He took almost the entire last year. The ball was exclusively in his hands the final 2 minutes of almost every game. That's why these Spurs now don't know how to finish yet, because DeMar DeRozan was the one finishing every single game last year.
But he wasn't knocking him down. I'm not saying he wasn't taking the shots. I'm saying he wasn't as clutch.
It's just not as on TV as much. I'm going to look up clutch stats.
Look it up. Listen, if y'all are listening, tweet JD, Facebook him, whatever you want to do. Tell him he's out of his mind that DeMar DeRozan is playing at a higher level. Or tell him to tell me I'm out of my mind, whichever one y'all agree with.
I'll tell you what. Let's see. Spurs, his clutch stats last year. Field goal percentage is second best on the team clutch.
So just so I'm clear, you're saying last year he wasn't an all-star. This year he's an MVP candidate. And that's simply because it's San Antonio versus Chicago.
That was my entire point of this segment. Yes.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. Wow. Unless those 5 points a game difference means that much. And maybe it does. Maybe 5 points is crazy. Two less assists. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's five. Maybe 5 points takes you from not even an all-star to MVP level. Because that's what you're saying.
I'm saying it's more than that. I'm saying he's a different player.
And
I'm saying he's having fun. He's hitting clutch shots. He's making, you said, far more points a game. He's a different player up there than he is down here, than he was down here.
So 5 points. I guess to you, 5 points, that's a lot.
5 points is, yeah, if you're talking like 25 versus 30, 21 versus 26, that's a big difference. That's a big jump.
Okay, so that's what you're saying. Okay. At least you said something tangible instead of he's having more fun.
My eyes don't lie. I'm just telling you what my eyes see and my heart feels.
And I'm telling you, he looks almost the same. He's on a better team. He's on a contender. That's the difference.
For sure. Yeah, he's definitely on a better team.
It's just like...
And maybe it was too much. Maybe it was too much for him. And he's better having better people around him. Like, that could be it.
And he's not even better. What I'm saying is he's just on a better team. It's like if you took Tony Romo and you swapped him with Tom Brady, he probably would have won Super Bowl or two.
That's because of Belichick.
I'm saying the teams. Like,
the Cowboys would have won if we had Tom Brady. What are you talking about?
I don't know about those defenses, but we'll get to the Cowboys. What I'm saying is he's just on a better team, so his press. I wouldn't even give it. It's a better team, bigger market.
Chalk this one up as JD's out of his mind.
I tell you what, you do not want to go on Twitter because you'll lose. You will completely lose.
You know how crazy Spurs Twitter is? You know how little sense they make? We love them, right? I love Spurs Twitter. I love hearing about their thoughts and what they're saying. But I don't necessarily value their opinion. Do
well,
you?
Twitter's not, huh?
Do you?
Yeah, or depends on who it is.
Yeah, that's true. What about Becky Hammond? Are we going to talk Becky?
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk Becky because that's another huge topic. So as everybody knows now, she took the head coaching and GM job with the Las Vegas Aces, formerly the San Antonio Silver Stars, or just Stars. But she's going to finish the season out with the Spurs, and then she'll go on and run that franchise. Now, there's been questions on whether Carolina Teague from San Antonio Sports Star tweeted this out too. Is it a downgrade?
Mm.
It's not a downgrade in jobs from where she is to where she's going. And downgrade is the wrong word. I don't think it's a step forward in being an NBA head coach.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, I'm not trying to knock her or the WNBA. It's just that when you look at who the NBA hires, they usually hire assistant coaches or former head coaches in the NBA. I don't think anyone has ever gone from the WNBA to the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, honest to God, like, if she's going to go to the WNBA and become the freaking GOAT coach over there. And remember, she played for this franchise, so in a sense, she's going home. She's getting GM duties, which Bill Parcells always said, if you want me to make dinner, you got to let me buy the groceries. So she gets full control. She's getting paid very well. I didn't know the Raiders, Mark Davis, owns the Aces.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
But kudos to him for throwing money at her. It's a great move for her. She deserves it. It's, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. I think they have a really good roster. It's just that their coach, Bill Laimbeer, is retiring. So it's not like she's taking over a scrub franchise either. So everything's in place for her to win right away and be full control. She's probably not going to be an NBA coach. And that's, again, that's okay. She had an interview saying that she was told it's because she was told she didn't have any head coaching experience. She was told.
Yeah, the two things she heard was that she's never been a head coach and she's only coached for San Antonio.
Which is crazy because Chauncey Billups had no experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
he beat her for that Portland job.
And maybe she felt, because I do think I hate to say a step down, but it's not the direction I wanted her to go, or, you know, we wanted her to go. We wanted her to get that NBA head coaching job. And I think from what we've seen, what we've heard, I think she deserves it. But maybe she felt she's just not going to, you know, she's not going to get it, you know. And
I think that's it. I really think she realizes there's still a glass ceiling.
Yep.
It's unfortunate that that's the case. But, you know, good for her for landing the next best thing, you know, in her eyes.
Yeah, you know. Another thing that it maybe kind of comes to the conclusion of is, I guess it's like an A or a B. Either one, Pop's not close to retiring, or they told her when he does, the keys aren't going to be handed to her.
And that's a very interesting question. That's probably the bigger question. Now, I've always said on this podcast that there's been no indication that Pop's going to retire. I think we as fans and the media have always put a finish line in front of him, right? First it was, oh, he'll probably leave when Duncan leaves.
Yeah. Yep.
And then it was, well, he told Aldridge
he
would coach through his time here. So he'll leave when Aldridge leaves. And then it was, he'll coach the Olympics and that's when he'll bow out. He'll just run the Olympics. He'll just be Team USA's coach. He, you know, people say, oh, he can't do both, even though everybody does both.
Yeah.
That was always a weird one. He's given up Team USA. He got his gold medal. He's out. I think Steve Kerr's running it now.
Yep, he is.
And then now the finish line was, oh, he'll break the record, and then he'll walk away. But I think for the first time ever, now that Becky's leaving, the question you just asked has made people think, okay, maybe he's not even close to the end, or retirement's not on his mind right now. And that's okay, right? I mean, again, unless they have someone else in place and they told Becky, which I can't, I couldn't see that being the case, right? I couldn't see them saying, well, we already have someone else in mind. Because again, who'd be out there that's not doing anything?
Yeah, and is, you know, the other teams, the other NBA teams may not be as high on Becky as we are, but it feels like the Spurs organizations, they are as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think the answer is Pop isn't close to retiring.
Yeah.
Now, we could be completely wrong, right? He could walk away this year, and they have someone like Bill Self waiting in the wings, or, you know, somebody that's left the Spurs is going to come back. But again, I don't – there's nobody out there that's just sitting there waiting. So I think Pop's in it for a while. I think he wants to get this – never mind. I was about to do what I just said. Accuse everybody else of doing. I'm not going to do that.
Just do it. Just do it.
I just think he wants to get this franchise back, at least in contention. But again, I don't want to be just like everybody else. So I'll just say this. Let's stop digging his grave already. Because I don't think he's ready to jump in that sucker.
Yeah, we're burying that man. He's still breathing.
Uh-huh. But any other NBA news? The only thing I wanted to get to with the NBA before we move on to football, how surprised are you that the Lakers are really, really bad?
Into the season, with the talent they had, I know they were an old team, but I thought they would be able to put it together. And after watching our game with them a couple nights ago, they looked old and slow. Like, we were way more athletic up and down the court than they were. Now, it could be these old guys just kind of playing it easy. Playoffs come, LeBron and company, they're gonna turn it on. But they do not look good.
I mean, they're the eighth seed right now. They're only four games ahead of the Spurs. And LeBron is having another great year. Like, they're wasting a LeBron season. I mean, I guess any season you have a bad year with LeBron, you're wasting a season, but... I mean, he doesn't have too many more of these in the tank. And the weird thing is you look at – so LeBron
– he's getting frustrated too if you watch him play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he knows he put together the 2014 All-Star team.
Yeah.
And it's just not working. That's my only real observation so far. I mean, other than that, things are kind of looking – the fun thing about that, though, is since the Lakers are not dominating, the NBA is still fun, right? I mean, the Warriors look amazing. They look back. The Phoenix is right behind them. The Jazz are right behind them. You still got Brooklyn. Of course, Chicago with, according to Mouse, the new and improved DeRozan. The Bucks are still there. This is going to be a fun year in the playoffs. There's no team that you're like, oh, that's unbeatable. Like, the Warriors are the best team again, but they're not scary to where you don't even want to watch. To where you're like, oh, no one can beat that team.
Yeah.
And that's fun. That's a lot of fun. Hopefully the Spurs are part of the playoffs. Makes it even more fun for us. But, yeah, I'm excited for the NBA. That's my only big surprise. Everybody else that's good, we kind of expect it to be good. And everybody that's bad, we kind of expect it to be bad, except for the Lakers. The Lakers are very average, below average.
Yeah.
And the Clippers, it seems like we've all forgotten about the Clippers. Because 2 years ago, we were wondering who's better, the Lakers or Clippers.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, the Clippers are the seventh seed.
Seventh, yep.
We're still wondering who's better, but we're wondering if either team's going to even make the playoffs. So, other than LA burning, things are going kind of to plan, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing for Spurs fans. I like that.
For Spurs fans, just sports fans. I think when NBA teams dominate, it kind of turns casual fans off to the sport. And now that it'll be new blood again, fresh, you know.
Oh, yeah. I was talking more about LA burning.
Oh, yeah. That's always a good thing here. The not so good news. Well, I want to gauge you how you feel about the Dallas Cowboys as a whole.
So
we'll talk as a whole, then we'll talk about this past week.
All right. So it's never as high as it seems or never as low as it seems, right? So I try to be kind of right down the middle. I think what I've seen from them, they have a top defense. And when the offense can figure it out, they have one of the most dynamic, most explosive offenses in the league. So if we can somehow figure out a way to put that together in the playoffs, we can make a run.
Are you worried at all that they don't beat anybody good?
Absolutely. Yes. We're not winning the games that kind of set you apart, right? They kind of set the motion for the team, and they're not winning them.
They feel like a team that can beat up on a college football team that's in a bad conference.
Yeah. They feel like the Cowboys. Like the Cowboys, the way they always are, except there's a little bit more high hope than normal. But it's just like, what team are we going to get? How are they going to come out? How are they going to play? What the heck is going on?
So what's the same old Cowboys for you?
Right now it is, yeah. But the ceiling is higher. Because usually I'm like, okay, the same old Cowboys, maybe we'll win a game in the playoffs. This team, I think, has what it takes to win it all if they can figure it out on offense, which shouldn't be an issue, right? We should not be talking about our offense struggling week 17 of the – or going into week 18 of the season.
Are you – who's disappointed you the most on offense?
There's two guys that on the top of my – poop hole.
There you go.
That is number four and your boy Kellen Moore.
Okay.
Those two guys better figure it out and get us to the promised land. Put this offense back on the map, scoring, you know, 30, 35. We need to figure that out. I don't know why we're not running the ball. I don't know why Dak's missing Amari being wide open. It's like this is their first year playing together. Like they've never played. They don't know what they're doing. It's very disappointing on offense, but I'm just so hopeful because I'm like, shoot, we can do it. Like I saw us do it the first 5-6 weeks of the season, whatever it was. So I know we have what it takes.
It feels like Dak can't make second reads.
Yeah, I would agree.
Or he's having trouble when defenses make adjustments pre-snap. It's hard for me to blame the offensive coordinator when your quarterback is struggling to see the entire field and to digest what's going on. And I don't know if it's Kellen. I do know that Dak doesn't, like you just mentioned, a wide open Cooper. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I can.
It really feels like Dak, and I don't want to pile on Dak, but it really feels like he's missing a lot of plays out. He's leaving a lot of yards on the table.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. But where I blame Kellen is we have 12 rushes in a game where also we're throwing screens in the red zone. And let me throw this number out there. The last 4 weeks, only 20% of our screens are for a positive play. That's 31st in the league in the last 4 weeks. And yet we continue to run screens to our red receivers.
Is that because he doesn't think Dak can see downfield?
So he may not think he can throw 15, 20 yards down the field, but he can run some crossing routes, right? Everybody's talking about these defenses sitting back, playing two-man shell over the top.
Yeah.
There's ways to beat that, and we're just not we're not beating it. We can scheme against that.
Okay.
Now, you saw Buda Baker come out this week and say Dak does not do a good job when the coverage is disguised, right? He said, if you trick him, he's not very good. But if you let him know what you're doing, he'll pick you apart.
And I think that's the issue. I think there's film. I mean, Buda Baker is not – he's an amazing player. He might be my favorite non-Cowboy. He won't be for the next couple of weeks, but but he's not like a genius or anything. If he's saying it, that's something that the league has caught on to.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. So that's what Dak's got to figure that out, and we got to figure out a way to just run better offensive plays for Dak. And, you know, leaving tight ends to block, you know, Jones, one of the best pass rushers in the league, it's not going to cut it. It's like the same stuff it was last year, the year before, when we were just nonstop sacks. Like, we got to help him out.
Yeah.
And again, we cannot rush the ball 12 times in a game. Then they
were.
That game was never away from us. We were always in that game. And yet we just don't run the ball. And then I think you might even mention it in the group text. Where are our RPOs? Why are we not running those?
Yeah. And I honestly think there's film on this offense. And whether it's Kellen Moore or Dak, it's probably a combination.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a combination. I think they do need to figure it out. Or McCarthy, he's supposed to, you know, be an offensive coach. He needs to either intervene or add some wrinkles, something. But you're right. They need to do something to kickstart this offense. And maybe Buda Baker giving out the secret helps with that.
Yeah, what I thought was, you know, these teams have been playing us with this too high kind of shell coverage the past few weeks, and we haven't been doing well. But this team blitzed us a lot. Arizona kind of brought the pressure, and Dak can usually beat that, and he wasn't.
Oh, I agree.
So we gotta figure this stuff out, because we got one more game. Chances are, it looks like we're gonna be playing Arizona in 2 weeks.
That's why I said Buda Baker's not my guy for a while.
Yeah.
And they have to win that wild card game.
Yeah. If you lose that wild card game, I mean, this is a bust of a season.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Because there's so much talent on this team, and this talent's not going to all be there next year.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys know that. They've said that themselves. That, hey, this is a great opportunity for our roster. That's rare. Coaching staff, roster, everything.
When was the last time we had a defense that was playing at this level with the turnovers that they're getting and the sacks, the pressure they're getting?
I couldn't even tell you. I honestly could not tell you.
It's wild to think we're sitting here week 18, our defense is playing the way we are, and we're talking about the Cowboys not being quite as good as they should be.
The funny thing is that we're 11-5, so it's a really good year.
Yeah.
But it's not enough.
Michael Irvin points out every Sunday that, you know, they're top offensive teams in the league. Dak's numbers are great on paper, but again, I trust my eyes and my heart, and they're not playing well. And maybe we miss Jarwin. Maybe we miss Blake more than we think, and he's coming back, so I'm hoping that'll help.
I don't think that matters. I think it's a matter of scheme and Dak seeing the field. I don't even know if Jarwin would see more than 10 snaps.
Oh, he will, because we see Sprinkle out there all the time. And I hate
seeing
that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, they got the Eagles. The crappy thing is they moved us to Saturday, which means, okay, let me ask you a question. Do you play the starters the whole game?
You know what? It's such a tough question, because one injury to a major player and you basically end the season, right?
You look dumb, yeah.
Yeah, but Coach McCarthy did say, and it's something that's true, we're not in a rhythm, and we need to find that rhythm, right? And so we need to go into the playoffs with our offense rocking and rolling, and we need that momentum that we can possibly gain this week. So I think you play them and just hope for the best.
Well, you also play them because what if Tampa Bay and the Rams lose, or just the Rams? If the Rams lose and they're playing the Niners – which is they're playing in San Francisco. No, I'm sorry, they're not. It's in LA. If the Rams lose that game, the Cowboys move back to the three seed. Wait, if
it takes a couple of things have to happen. I'm trying to look. I know I text the little chart.
So the Cowboys have now lost two NFC games. The Rams have lost to the Cardinals, Niners, Packers. Okay. Our NFC record will be better than the Rams. But look up your chart. I'm pretty sure if the Rams lose and we win, you move up to the three seed. If the Bucks lose and the Rams win, it doesn't matter because the Bucks will have the tiebreaker over us. But you did have a chart. As you look that chart up...
I cannot freaking find it.
I'm pretty sure if the Rams lose, we move up. So that's another reason you play your starters. And what I was saying what sucks is we won't know when we play.
Yeah.
Because they moved us to Saturday.
I'm a little happy off the record that the games moved to Saturday because I found out on Sunday, this past Sunday, that we had a big birthday party to go through on Sunday.
You lucked out.
At 2:00. And I don't miss Cowboys games. So I told my wife, I don't think we're going. And then I got the alert that it got moved to Saturday. So it all worked out.
Is it someone's birthday that you shouldn't be missing?
It's a good, like a great friend of ours' daughter's birthday. So I probably shouldn't. But my own blood family knows. If they do your party on the Running Cowboys game, chances are I'm not going to go. Or make sure there's a TV there. And there was no TV where we're going. So the question was, do I watch like the first half and then drive over there and watch the second half in the car? Do I show up late? Maybe show up at like 3:30. That was an option too, but I don't have to deal with it. It's all good now. That's be at hilarious. The party. So if you see me on Sunday or Saturday, don't tell him that I wasn't going to go if the Cowboys played.
Well, if he doesn't listen to the show, that means he's not a good friend of
you. You know what? I'm not going to the party no matter what. He doesn't listen to the show. That's it. I'm staying home. We're not going either day. You're right, JD. You are right.
I had a cousin schedule their birthday dinner at 6:00 on last Sunday.
Oh. Sunday night game too?
It was, it was the end of the Cardinals game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't a Sunday night game. It was a 3:00 game.
No, it wasn't. It was just the fourth quarter of it.
Yeah.
So I didn't go to the birthday party.
There you go. See? We're in the same boat.
And some of them on that family does listen, so now they know why. But again, like to your point, if somebody knows you that well, they know. You know.
Yeah, right? they get it.
It drives my wife crazy. But, it is what
she
it is.
Gets it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She knows what's going on.
All right. So,
what do we think? I know it's not quite the playoffs yet, but are we winning that first game?
Let's just wait to see where we're at. Because I have faith that the Niners beat the Rams.
Yeah.
So I want to see who we're going to play. I have faith that the Niners win that game, and I have faith that we move to the three seed. And here's another thing that drives me crazy is as much as I want to be down on the Cowboys, besides the Packers, everybody in the NFL has their ups and downs.
Yep.
I mean, Tom Brady had to do a typical Brady fourth quarter miracle drive to beat the Jets. You know what I mean? So it's not the end of the world when you lose by three. You know what? Before we move on, I wanted to get your opinion on the Cowboys putting a lot of blame on the refs.
Man, so my initial thought is they can say it, but I don't want them using it as an excuse. So I like them bringing it to light, but I don't want them getting down in a game and they start thinking, oh, we're going to lose because the refs are going to beat us.
I agree 100%.
So I don't mind the leaders like D-Law talking about it, but I don't want them harping on it and using it as an excuse. So that's where it's kind of a slippery slope.
Because to your point, I know a lot of people are upset that the Cowboys sound like crybabies, but it's like an NBA coach who brings it up during the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they want to get the calls the next game of the series. If that's the goal and that's the result, then it's not a bad move.
Yep.
It does feel a little childish and a little, you know, a little babyish. But again, if they're trying to work it like the NBA coaches do, then I'm fine with it.
And there is a big, pretty high possibility that we see this officiating crew in the playoffs again.
Yeah, and it might be against the exact same, like DeMarcus Lawrence says, we might see them both in the playoffs. As it stands right now, we will be playing the Cardinals wild card weekend. So there is a great chance. And to your point about Saturday night game's fun.
Yeah.
You can barbecue, you can, have a few drinks. I know for me as a parent, I'm always worried about if we're watching the game, getting the kids ready for school the next day or, things like that. Saturday night, you can just let them, let my kids. I might put the screen in the backyard and let the boys throw the football around and grill or something.
Yeah, and then it feels like your weekend's longer, right? Because you wake up on Sunday and you're like, oh, shit, I got all day. The Cowboys don't play. I don't really get so much time to
do whatever you want. Yeah, you can red zone it up or you can do some chores.
Yeah, a little Bed Bath & Beyond maybe.
Yeah, maybe. All right, I'm digging the Saturday game, and I'm glad Mouse doesn't have to watch a game on his phone in his
car. Yeah, I know. I'm not going.
At that point, just stay home. You're going to be in your car anyway.
At least I can send my wife and my little girl in there.
Uh-huh.
But they'd have to wear their Cowboys jerseys or shirts, so they probably wouldn't be happy.
Yeah. And then they'll just say, oh, Mouse is in the car.
Yeah. He's on a business call. That's probably what they would say.
Yep, exactly. All right. Big weekend of college football, bowl games, playoffs, recruiting. Let's start with the playoffs. To nobody's surprise, Alabama and Georgia took care of business. Probably, I guess the only surprise would be how easy Georgia handled Michigan. But we're getting a rematch from the SEC championship game. Does that excite you? Does that bore you?
Yeah, I mean, usually kind of boring, right? I don't typically want that.
Yeah.
But I do think those are the two best teams in college football, so I don't mind them going up against each other again.
We also had some fun bowl games. The Rose Bowl was really fun. Baylor in the Sugar Bowl got it done, capping off probably Baylor's best season ever. A Big 12 title and a Sugar Bowl championship. That's a really big year for Baylor. And then that caps off a great 2021. They won the basketball national championship too. They're doing good things in Waco. Only other thing I want to note, A&M as it stands right now has the number one recruiting class of all time.
Wow.
So they are recruiting monsters. They didn't get to play in their bowl game due to COVID. A few other games were lost because of that, but the ones that were played, I think I saw the Music City Bowl. There was just a lot of good bowl games. The playoffs were boring, but the actual bowl games were real good. But yeah, and then you got recruiting right in the middle of it all.
Any thoughts on the shock, I would say the shock of the recruiting class and Travis Hunter going to Jackson State with primetime?
It's crazy, but I guess to me, here's what we have to realize. These super five-star kids, their legitimate goal is to go to the NFL. Like Quinn Ewers went to Texas. He didn't go because they're good. I mean, Texas had a horrible year. He went to Texas because Steve Sarkisian develops NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
If he wins at Texas, great for him. Like, and I'm not saying winning is not a goal, but when you're at the top of your class, you're looking at who's going to develop you into an NFL player. And if you're a cornerback, I don't know there's any better coach in the world than Deion Sanders to treat you and coach you as an NFL player. Obviously, it's still shocking, but when you sit back and think of it in their eyes, that's
kind of makes sense.
It makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, big feather in the cap of Deion. The crazy thing is he took them from Florida State, his alma mater.
Yeah, I was going to say that's his home, really.
So I wonder how Florida State fans feel. I mean, they're probably pissed, but they also probably want Deion as their coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see if he ever ends up there or if he's happy at Jackson State. We'll see. And I wonder if
Texas. What?
Yes. No, go.
I was going to say, did Texas make the jump up to number four? I know they were like 6 or 7 for a while, and then I thought I saw their.
They're 5 if you don't count Quinn Ewers, 4 if you count them.
Got it.
So whatever whatever floats your boat. I mean, I would count Quinn Ewers because he's on the team. And this was supposed to be his class anyway, but if you don't want to count him, you don't want to. It doesn't really matter at this point. But yeah, 5 or 4.
Yeah.
So they pulled a great class after having a bad year. One thing I do want to say before we move on. Out of the top 10 players in Texas, I think only 2 of them left the state, which is a big difference from the last few years. And one of them was a quarterback where A&M and Texas already were getting quarterbacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One of them kind of had to leave the state. I mean, he could have gone to Tech or something, but he left the state because the two big schools grabbed quarterbacks. If that trend continues, because A&M's got the number 1 class, Texas has a number 4 or 5 class, however you want to shake it. If the trend continues where players stay home for these two schools, we could have a, remember in the 90s when Miami and Florida State were always dope, like they're just two of the best teams in America. We could have that kind of matchup.
And then not too long, we're going to be in the same conference as well, right?
Exactly. So the Thanksgiving Day game will be just as big as Florida State-Miami back in the 90s. Because, again, for the past 10, 15 years, teams like Ohio State, Alabama, they've come to Texas and plucked the best players.
Yeah.
This is the first year in a very long time that majority of the top players stayed home. So out of the top 10, only 2 left Texas. Out of the top 20, only 5 left Texas. So, and they're all Longhorns or Aggies. So the Longhorns and Aggies are setting themselves apart from the rest of the state. Which, that's going to happen, especially when they're both in the SEC. But more importantly, they're keeping the kids home. And that's great for everybody in Texas. That means those things, again, those Thanksgiving battles, you're going to see all the best kids from Texas play in that game. And that game might end up becoming bigger than the Red River Shootout. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it's exciting. I miss watching that game.
Yeah, especially if there's this much talent on the field. So I just want to point that out. And there's another signing day, I think, February 2nd. So there's a few kids that haven't signed yet. Most of them are committed, but the ones that aren't, you'll see the rest of those on ESPN. But for the most part, most of the class is pretty much signed and delivered. But yeah, that's the most exciting is... Let me see real quick before we move on where UTSA ranks as far as their conference. They ended with the number 3 class in Conference USA, and they had the least amount of kids. So they only had 12 recruits, and they do like an on average. So they had the number 3 class in the conference, and they had the number 3 class per recruit average. So a very good class for them. Oh, maybe 4. They're coming in with 12 kids. I think 2 of them are actually from San Antonio. 2 offensive linemen from Central Catholic. And they had quite a bit of transfers. They ended up with a safety from Baylor, an offensive tackle from Northwestern, a wide receiver from Ole Miss, a wide receiver from Colorado. So they're recruiting, you know, they're not just recruiting high school kids. They're getting kids to come to San Antonio that, you know, wanted to be the, you know, their schools somewhere else. So Jeff Traynor's doing his thing also.
Yeah, I know he's recruiting down in the valley. You got a, I think he got like a big offensive tackle and a quarterback out of Sherryland, which is city I lived in down there.
Yes.
Down in Mission, so he's doing well.
And he got a quarterback out of Gilmer, which is where he's from. That kid was never going to go anywhere else, probably. Another quarterback out of Austin. Both of them 3 stars. So he's doing well. It's a smaller class, so it won't be ranked as high as a previous class, but a really good class nonetheless. But we got recruiting. We got college football playoffs. The finals coming up. But Mouse, the world wants to know, what are you watching?
Man, so it's been a while since we recorded, so I got a list longer than my normal 1 or 2.
Bring it.
Yeah, man. So I'm still finishing up The Man in the Arena, which is that Tom Brady documentary on ESPN Plus.
I started it.
Did you? Okay, how far did you get? What?
3 episodes, I think.
Okay. I think I'm through 6. If they one came out last week, I missed it. And then one usually comes out Tuesday, so if one came out tonight, I haven't seen that one. Or the 1 or 2 usually come out at a time, but I'm up to their the deflate gate and then the win against Seattle in the Super Bowl. So it's, and I highly recommend that. I like it. What did you think of it?
I like it a lot. It's interesting to see just his whole journey.
Yeah.
It's crazy. First of all, it's crazy how old he is, right?
Yeah, I know. When you see him, like when he comes in, you're like, fuck, he was playing back then.
Like some of these players, man, like even real quick, Ben Roethlisberger had his last game ever in Pittsburgh. I remember his rookie year. He played against the Cowboys. Bill Parcells was our coach.
Wow.
Like that's how long these guys are playing nowadays. It's nuts. But yeah, I really liked it. I liked the insight. I just love the fact – it's just cool to see the journey of a late-round pick become the mm-hmm. greatest ever.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Man in the Arena, catch on ESPN+. Plus. I also watched an ABC News special on Hulu on Alec Baldwin called Unscripted, which is basically George Stephanopoulos interviewing him about the shooting or the accidental shooting. Just to, you know, get some insight, get his thoughts on it. So that was interesting. Sad situation overall, but interesting to hear Alec talk about it. We took a trip to New Mexico and did some to the mountains, to a ski resort. And while I was there, I said, shoot, let me watch a Netflix documentary called 14 Peaks, which is basically, I think there's like 14 mountains and the peaks in the entire world that are over like 8,000 meters, which is like 20,000 feet or something like that. And this guy, Nims Persia, wanted to climb all of them. And it's been done a couple of times, but the fastest it's been done is 7 years. And this dude wanted to do it in 7 months. So it was crazy to see him do it. And just to see the sights from up there. So 14 Peaks is pretty good on Netflix. I know I talked about this before. I saw, again, A Star is Born on HBO Max, which crazy, is a right? movie you got to watch. Have you seen it?
I haven't told you the story about that.
No.
I thought I told it on here, but if not, let me. So
tell it, yeah.
It came out, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It was during football season. And as me and Mouse have said many times, we're pretty stubborn during football season. We're stuck in our ways. We have to watch every game. Well, my wife really wanted to watch Star is Born. I had no desire. Oh, I had no desire to watch it. So I said, okay, you know what? I'll get a babysitter. We're gonna. I'm gonna take you to the movies. We'll go to Alamo Draft House. Dinner.
Some brownie points.
Yeah. Oh, I love the movie. I thought it was amazing. Yeah.
I know. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's like so. I don't know, man. I don't even want to say it. It's just all over the place. But I love watching that movie.
And the guy, there was a guy sitting next to me, a grown adult, older than me, bawling his eyes out. He was crying so hard, I thought to myself, do I have to see if this man's okay? Yeah. I had that thought in my head, like, do I need to check on
it? It sounded like one of your toddlers, when your little ones is crying, one of the boys.
No, it was a grown worse.
Yeah, man. So that's a great movie, and I had no idea. I've never even heard about the first one, so I didn't know how it ended, and I didn't know how it was gonna play out. But my gosh, that's a good one. So caught that on HBO Max. Also, a show I've kind of been watching with my wife, an HBO classic. They brought back Sex and the City, and again, I don't think we watched last week's or this week's if it's out yet, but I've watched a couple of episodes with her. And just a bone to pick with like TMZ. I don't want to call out TMZ. I know they listen, and they're always tuning in. But does your wife watch Sex and the City?
Yes, she does. She just restarted it so she can roll into the movie. Is it a movie or
no? It's a new show. Yeah, they brought back the TV show. Shows. Okay. So it's a reboot, right? It's all the same characters virtually. Girls have been clamoring over it, excited for it. It's been coming. And then they dropped, I think, on a Friday night. And it was either like that Friday night or first thing Saturday morning, TMZ put out an alert, like a huge spoiler. And it wasn't like, spoiler alert, don't click this link. It was like an alert that popped up on my wife's phone, like if it was, the score for the Spurs. So it was just like big bold letters, a huge spoiler. So she was so pissed. And I was like, I don't know why the heck they would do that. And, of course, people were talking about it on Facebook. So if your wife has not seen the spoiler, that's good because there's a spoiler in that first episode. So caught a couple of those with her. Finished up Yellowstone. Ended last night. What are your thoughts? So mine, man, I hate saying it, but I wasn't very happy with the season. It just didn't live up to, like, the hype of the other seasons.
It's easily the worst season.
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt. Yeah. It's still good. I still love it.
Do you think they had too many balls in the air trying to promote the new show, trying to implement the third show that's going to come out? Was it more of a – what would you call it? Did they use too much time to push the other shows?
Something. I mean, if there's definitely wasn't as creative as normal. And so if that was their intent to push those other shows, which we know they're coming out with a few, or they came out with another one and then one more kind of coming down the road, that definitely could be a reason. I don't know, but I wasn't too happy with it. I was waiting for it to kick off and really start happening, and it just never really got off the ground for me.
And for those that haven't watched it, I still say watch the series. The series is amazing. And the season was also, the season was solid.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, it's like if Jordan only scored 15 points.
Yeah, for sure.
So still watch the show if you haven't watched it. If you have cable that has the Paramount Network, it's so confusing. I'm going to try to talk you into it. You can watch this season on Paramount app, not Paramount Plus, the regular Paramount app. And you can log in through your cable provider. Or if you have Peacock, they have all the seasons except for this new season. And then the spinoff shows will be on Paramount Plus. But yeah, I feel exactly how you did. It was solid, but nowhere near. It didn't keep its level like the way Peaky Blinders keeps its level of intensity.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely was.
But still a good series. Or good season. Solid season,
yeah.
I say.
Yeah, you got to watch it for sure. If you haven't watched Yellowstone or you haven't watched the season, you got to watch it. So talking about Yellowstone, I did watch the 1883 spinoff and the episodes that are out for that. Have you seen that?
No, I'm actually. It's funny. As we speak, I told my wife to get Paramount Plus. We'll start it tonight as soon as we're done recording.
It's kind of different for sure. Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, it's crazy. I like it. Okay. Yeah, I like it a lot. My wife loves Yellowstone, and she saw a few minutes of this one, and she wasn't really happy with it. Right away, so, she gave up. Yeah. But she came in like episode 2 or 3, so it's not like she even watched it from the beginning. She was just like, this seems a lot slower than Yellowstone. But I like it so far.
Let me ask you a question. Why did you start it without her?
I know, and I asked her twice.
Oh, okay, so you did ask. Okay.
Do my due diligence. I said, hey, I'm going to start this. You sure you don't have any interest in it? And at first she said yes. And then she was like, no, I just watch it without me. So.
Okay, I thought you – how what's the word? Binge-watched or TV cheated on her?
While she was asleep, I just watched it under the covers with headphones on or something.
I need to pin a phrase for that because my wife does that to me all the time.
That's cold-blooded. I can't believe she does.
I know, bro. I know. It's because she watches things at a rapid pace, so she doesn't want to slow down with me. Because what slows, again, we're difficult men to love.
Yeah.
If the Spurs are on, I'm not gonna watch it with you. So I think that's what she does.
Does she go, if you start watching, does she go back and rewatch the episodes with you, or is she like, you got to catch up?
She'll rewatch the episodes.
Okay.
She's cool. Like if I mention it and she's already seen like the first 3 or 4, she's like, she'll start giggling because she knows she just TV cheated on me.
It's messed up.
And then she's like, oh, I'll watch it again. But yeah, at least she did your diligence.
Yeah, for sure. Gotta check in with the wife. Also watched on Netflix a movie called Don't Look Up. Have you heard of it? I'm sure you've heard of it.
I've heard of it, but I didn't watch it. Did you like it? Did you not like it?
Fuck no, it was horrible.
I've heard both ends. I guess I have to do it because.
Yeah, I've
heard people like it, and I've heard people say this is horrible.
You know what's crazy is like my Facebook and my social media accounts were all positive for it. Like I didn't see one bad thing for it. My wife was the opposite. Her friends were like, don't watch it.
See, exactly.
But you know, a lot of her friends are in the media, so maybe that has to do with it, because there's, you know, it kind of some interesting insight or things that happen. But regardless, we both hated it.
Okay. So, but I'm definitely glad you watch said it. That I'm glad you said that your Facebook pages were polar opposite.
Yeah, it was weird.
Nobody has said it's all right. I've heard people say it's horrible or it's amazing.
Yeah. That's hilarious. And I even went back to some of the people that I thought had wrote statuses, you know, comments on it, and I looked and I was like, yeah, they liked it. I'm like, how the fuck do they like this horrible? I wanted to fall asleep.
It's like DeMar DeRozan. He's either not even an all-star or he's
an
MVP.
He's an MVP. Yeah, for sure. I like the way you tied that in. What else? The only other thing is SEAL Team. I've talked about it before. It's on Paramount Plus.
I think you're getting more seasons, aren't you?
Yeah, so I thought it ended. And then I saw there was a couple more episodes that popped up in December. One came out this weekend, and I think it said like mid-season premiere. So maybe there's some more episodes coming out. I thought it was over.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was watching Yellowstone last night, and they did a commercial for SEAL Team. Was it? And it sounded like you're going to get a bunch of that. Like, it's not over for you, Mouse.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy. I'm excited. So that's all I got. It's a long, long list.
I did Yellowstone also. I did a documentary on Showtime called You're Watching Video Music Box. So do you know what Video Music Box is?
Nope.
So Video Music Box was I guess it'd be public access channel in New York City. It was a show on public access, our local TV.
Okay.
And it was basically Yo MTV Raps before Yo MTV Raps.
Oh, okay.
So for those that don't know, MTV didn't play black music for the beginning like 5-6 years of MTV. And then they'd only play like Michael Jackson and Prince. So rap videos didn't have anywhere to go except for Video Music Box. So it's a documentary about how this guy started it, how deep into the culture he is, how important he was for the culture. It went all the way from the beginning of hip-hop. I think it's still going on now. It doesn't have the impact it used to because, you know, there's YouTube and everything. But even when I was watching the documentary, he's interviewing, like, Nicki Minaj. So it's very important for hip-hop culture. It was produced by Nas. I think he's doing like a bunch of hip hop documentaries on Showtime, and this is the first one he did. It was really good. I really liked it. I also like the aspect of just how he got it on air, how he would get videos, because it's about the birth of music television. It's also about the birth of just hustling to put on TV. It's birth of hip hop. You know, there's so many things that started all at once with this, you know, during Video Music Box. But I really recommend it.
Were they showing like West Coast music videos, or was it more just New York?
No, it talks about how he would show West Coast videos, and Ice Cube says it was the weirdest thing to me that he would go play a club in New York and people knew who he was strictly off Video Music Box.
Wow.
Because the radio stations weren't playing it. Two Live Crew said the same thing. They said, besides Miami, New York was our biggest market because of Video Music Box. And that we'd have to go play New York like four times a year because we did have a big audience because of Video Music Box.
Oh, that's neat.
So it didn't just stick with New York hip hop. It was like all over. There's so many cool interviews, like before these guys were famous. A lot of stars interview for this documentary just because, you know, to them, the biggest thing in the world was getting on this show, Video Music Box. Like Jay-Z never does press. He gets interviewed a lot for this, and he's on Video Music Box. They show old footage.
And where did you watch that?
Showtime.
Showtime.
So Nas is going to have a few hip-hop documentaries on Showtime. That's the first one I've seen. I don't know if there's any more yet. But yeah, it's called You're Watching. The show is called – the documentary is called You're Watching Video Music Box. What else did I watch? I watched a show called 2021 and Done. Did you hear about, or did you watch when Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg had a show during the Olympics?
Yeah, I never watched it, but I remember seeing like clips.
So it was really funny. They have great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So 2021 and Done is them kind of recapping the year 2021. So it's the end of year show. They recap the news. They recap trends, everything. It is really good. It's on Peacock. I tell you right now, they're going to do a lot together. I think Peacock's going to milk that for all
his Grandpa work. Snoop's funny. For sure.
Yeah, he's actually funnier on that show than Kevin Hart. Like he has, even Kevin Hart stops there in the middle of the show and says, "You're really quick with your comments." You can tell they filmed that show and they just kind of let the camera roll.
Ad-lib, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, a lot of ad-libbing. That was really funny. I watched Spider-Man at the theater. It was everything it was hyped up to be. It was great.
Did you go with a bunch of people?
Yeah, with Joe, one of our former co-hosts on here, a mutual friend of ours, Jacob.
Did Big Joe enjoy his popcorn? I know he likes getting popcorn at the
I think at he the did. Movies.
He did. He loved it.
I think he did. Yeah, he's probably still eating it. But yeah, that movie was amazing. Very creative way to tie in all the old Spider-Mans. It's funny because those older Spider-Mans ended because nobody was watching the movies. They were done making those kind of movies and then they recast or whatever. But it was a very creative way of tying them all together. Well done. What else did I watch? I also watched something. I'm going to just have Mouse piss off everybody.
What?
I watched Cobra Kai.
I'm going to mute myself for this brief segment.
I'm not done with it, but it seems like I'm the only one that didn't finish it over the weekend. Because everybody on social media seems to have finished the show already. So far, I like it. I like it a lot. This whole series has been great. I know Mouse does not like it.
Was this season filled with more bad acting and bad action scenes?
Okay, SEAL team. I was being very nice. Your show got demoted to the pay app.
Oh, man. I can't argue with you.
But yeah, Cobra Kai is so far so good. It's gotten a lot of positive reviews from all over, so I'm excited to finish it. And I think that's it. I'm sure I've watched other things, but nothing worth Nothing worth noting. Oh, one other thing I watched on HBO Max. It's called The Slow Hustle. It's about a police officer in Baltimore that gets... He dies. He gets shot. They don't know if it was suicide or of a murder. I don't want to say too much else. Let's just say it's a really good story. It's only one episode long.
Did you say it's a documentary, like based on real life?
Yeah, it's a cop that died in 2017.
Okay.
They don't know if he was murdered because of an investigation. They don't know if he killed himself because of an investigation. They don't know if it was random. They don't know. I mean, there's a lot. It's very much up in the air.
Do you get an answer at the end, or can you say?
You don't get an answer.
Okay.
Because they, you know, you come to your own conclusion. But they do tell you from all sides. It's very open-minded documentary. They give you all angles. Very well done. It's called The Slow Hustle on HBO Max. And that's it for me for watching. Before we go, I did go to a coffee shop. It's a coffee truck. It's called Shine Coffee. It's off St. Mary Street. It's right there by the strip. It's in between Josephine Street and 35. Really good coffee. The dude makes it right in front of you. You know, it takes a few minutes, but he's putting all his effort into it, and it's worth it. It's a truck, and I'll post the back of the truck. That way, if you're driving down St. Mary's, you'll know what it looks like. Really, really good coffee. It's really up there for me.
What'd you get? Do you remember?
I always get whatever the house coffee of the day is, black. I'm a very simple guy.
Yeah.
My wife got a mocha. I'm trying to remember what she got. It's been a few weeks. She loved it. She'll always get the more fancy drinks, and she said that was one of her better ones. And it's open. I'm looking online right now. It's open every day but Monday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. So go out and, you know, check it out. It's really good. Again, go on our Instagram. I'll post the truck, what the truck looks like. Our Instagram is at Spurs and Salsa. And on there, you can find years and years worth of food reviews, coffee review, beer review, anything local. We try to promote it. So definitely add Shine Coffee to your list, especially now that it's getting colder. If you're going down to the Pearl on the weekends, you know, some people like to go there for the farmer's market or just in that whole little area, definitely check out Shine Coffee. I know things are a little rough with COVID, so we might have to slow back down on reviewing things, going out to places. But if we do slow down, what we'll do is we'll just re-review or re-talk about places we've already been. Because we do like to give props to the best places in town, local stuff. But that's all I got, Mouse. You ready to talk some Cowboys next week?
Yeah, man, we'll see how everything shakes out.
It'll be playoff week.
Hopefully the Spurs will get back on a winning streak.
Yeah, by the time we record this, DeJounte Murray will be back, a few games back under his belt, and maybe his push for the All-Star game gets us a few wins, like you said. We'll know who the national champion in football is. And now that Yellowstone's over and a few other shows, me and you're going to have to find some new things to watch.
I know. Don't cheat on me. Don't watch it without me. Don't TV cheat on me.
Well, you already started 1883, so I got to go catch up.
There you go.
All right. Until next week, go Cowboys and go Spurs, go.